97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're happy you're with us this morning, live on the socials for you, the YouTube and, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, you name it. We're interacting with people on there on the YouTube page and Facebook as well. We appreciate your feedback. If you want to download the podcast, if you missed last hour, we had U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt on here. He is going to be on Capitol Hill today for the where the hearing will be taking place. He's not on this committee, but the Health and Human Services, of course, for RFK Jr. nominee will be held today, and Schmidt will be in the building, but he is in support of RFK getting that post. And, of course, Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, their hearings are tomorrow, so it's a big week finishing off here in Washington, D.C. We'll see what happens with that, and, of course, all the fallout. But you can go to the podcast and hear all of Senator Schmidt's comments this morning there at wherever you pick up your podcast, but, of course, at 971talk.com. And of course, if you go to the Odyssey app, if you're using it, I had a friend this morning who sent me a direct message, and he's moved to Fort Myers, Florida, and is about to retire or has retired and listens to us on the app all the time. So I appreciate that. I really do, Vance. Good to hear from you this morning, and I hope all is well, and I hope things are a little warmer down there in South Florida than they have been the past week or two. I felt like wearing short sleeves yesterday, and it's going to be in the 50s again today. I think we're going to try to go to the zoo with the grandkids today because the weather's going to be so nice before the rain sets in. And hopefully, if you live in the city, maybe your streets will be ice-free in the next day or two after all that rain, Carl. Maybe that's what Mayor Tish was just waiting for, all the rain. I'm just saying. Carl's afraid to say anything because he's afraid they'll intentionally skip his street.
I'm pretty good on my street right now.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I mean, not my lawn, but the street's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Stay off my lawn is what Carl says. All right. We're good. All right. Coming up, we are going to get to Charles Payne before the end of the hour from the Fox Business Network and find out more about this AI NASDAQ problem that we faced this week from the Chinese AI app. We'll see what Charles thinks about all that and how real the threat is. Annie Fry is going to join me about 8:45. Can't wait to get her thoughts on Caroline Leavitt's first day at the podium in the White House press briefing room. But first, we want to get to our top stories here, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
To work with my staff on a sustainable and comprehensive plan to eliminate the individual income tax once and for all.
All right. That was obviously Governor Kehoe there yesterday giving his speech to legislators down in Jeff City. And that's one of his priorities. That, oh, by the way, and taking back state control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department.
By using every lever of his federal power, President Trump has sent a loud and clear message to the entire world. America will no longer tolerate illegal immigration.
There you have it. That was Caroline Leavitt. You heard me mention her a minute ago. She was on fire yesterday. The mainstream media will have to make an adjustment after having a press secretary who doesn't need to refer to her notes to answer a question.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal because he or she is undocumented. That is a civil offense.
Yeah, Sonny, they violated the sovereignty of the United States. Why don't you break the law and travel into Mexico and tell me whether or not you're treated as a legal or an illegal alien at that point?
St. Louis is a welcoming city, as evidenced by our establishment of the Office of New Americans to connect resettling people from all over the world who are choosing St. Louis as their home.
All right. And for this point forward, it will forever be known as UNA, the Office of New Americans. You can be a new American right here. Now, it doesn't matter if you're actually here legally, Tamara Jones. I'm sorry. I understand the need to want to boost your population. If your policies weren't bordering on insane, people that already lived in the region might be moving back into the city. But what you're seeing is it going the opposite direction. Like, right? Chief salesperson for U-Haul is Mayor Tishara Jones because people are leaving the city. Now, we might lure them back with free college education and free child care if you want to go to work for the city? Who's paying for that? Who pays for it when the money runs out? That was my question yesterday. Of course, the announcement that as part of this Rams settlement money, they're having trouble getting younger employees for city jobs. So the logic is, if we just had more perks, like, oh, I don't know, free child care and paying for the last dollar of your child's college education. I'm not even sure what that means. The last dollar. Does that just mean all of it?
No, that means taking out grants and financial aid.
Well,
the stuff that you're responsible for.
Okay. So we'll pay for the last dollar. If your kid's got $10,000 left to pay for college, the city is going to step in and pay for it with the Rams settlement money.
Yeah.
There's something funny about government programs, in my opinion, and that is, generally speaking, they never get smaller. And the minute you try to make them smaller, somebody, usually a Democrat, will come screaming at you and claim that you've taken something away from them. You've robbed them of something that they were being given for free. Shame on you. People will starve if you do that. You can't do that to people. So just out of interest, what happens when the money runs out? Doesn't it seem like a fair question? Like they were gifted this money and they're handing it out like it's free money. And they're funding government services with it, mind you, in terms of perks for city employees. If that's a thing, why didn't you fund the police department with it? That would be my first question. Second question is, what do you do when the money runs out? You're already in budget deficit spending, largely. You're already starving for revenue. 10 years from now, when you're out of you've blown all $20 million or however much money you've thrown at this thing, you're just going to announce that it's going away? What about the people that are in the pipeline at the time? They're already employees. They've already planned on their kids' college education being covered, and you've run out of money. Who are you going to tax for it then? That's the danger of using free money to set up government perks like this, in my opinion. But we'll see what happens. There's a primary coming up, and we're going to have Jane Duker on the show Friday morning to talk more about maybe what you can do if you live in the city to have some impact on who your next mayor is in the city of St. Louis. So I got that coming up for you. Coming up next, we're going to get to Noah Weinrich. Noah is, of course, with the Heritage Foundation. And did you hear yesterday where somebody went to the Washington, D.C. to try to blow up some Trump nominees? He had pipe bombs with him, and apparently he was also planning to target the Heritage Foundation. It's crazy. Anyway, we'll get to Noah when we come back.
Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals, as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
Caroline Leavitt yesterday had a great time at her first news conference there in the White House press briefing room, laying it out for these liberal reporters who want to believe that you can just do what you want, walk across the border into the U.S. and stay for as long as you want. And I'd love for her to turn that around on them and say, if somebody kicked in your front door this morning and decided to camp in your living room, what would you do? Would you call the police? Would you feed him? Would you clothe him? What exactly would you do? What is your tolerance for that? And why is it any different on the southern border? It seems like a fair question to me. I mean, obviously, we've got ICE out doing the work right now. We've got Noah Weinrich with us this morning, filling in for Genevieve Wood, who normally joins us on Wednesdays. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Noah, how are you?
Doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for giving us a few minutes this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw where Dr. Kevin Roberts was out making the rounds, and you guys, of course, had him there at the Daily Signal talking about the fact that, you know, ICE is probably understaffed considering what it is they need to be doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. They are significantly understaffed. I mean, they've got a big job in front of them. 10 to 20 million illegal immigrants that they need to arrest and deport in the next 4 years. By our estimations, they need at least 12,000 more field agents. They need 100,000 detention beds. They need thousands of attorneys, 1,000 judges, 1,000 more support staff. It's significant, and it's going to take billions of dollars from Congress. Thankfully, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much. It's about $25 billion that they need. When you compare that to some of the boondoggles that have gone out the door under Biden, it should be easy to find that money. But it's going to take Congress allocating the money. It's going to take some of these, you know, conservatives and Republicans to step up and say, you know what, this is President Trump's mandate. This is what the people voted for. We need to give them the money.
Well, I hope so. I know they've got some budget negotiations coming up. Maybe through reconciliation, they could redirect some of that money. I don't know. But like you pointed out, I mean, the story we've just found out about yesterday with the recommended temporary freeze on, you know, outgoing foreign grants and things like that, the left lost their mind over it. But they identified what, close to $3 trillion that we're shipping out of the country every year?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And some of these are going to just insane causes. I mean, yeah. $50 million for contraception in Gaza. Why are we spending that money? You know, hundreds of billions of dollars to these NGOs, including places like Catholic Charities, that are really, you know, their main mission right now is just to facilitate the entry of illegal migrants into this country. You know, they are paid by the government. We pay these people to go down to, you know, these detention facilities near the border and bring illegal aliens into the country, into every state, every city around the country. There's a lot of savings to be had, and, you know, money that could be put back in the pocket of the American taxpayer or sent to ICE to facilitate these mass deportations and removals of criminals from our interior.
Wow. So didn't Russell Vogt used to work with you guys at Heritage, or he did something at Heritage, didn't he? The OMB nominee?
Yeah, that's exactly right. He was the vice president at Heritage Action, the advocacy arm of the foundation.
All right, cool. And so, of course, fortunately, then he goes into this knowing the playbook on really things that need to be addressed within government spending, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's done this job before. He was the OMB chief under Trump in the first term, and that's what he's being put up for confirmation for now. And hopefully they're able to make that a swift process for him.
Yeah, well, I saw where the Washington Times is already saying that Dems are urging them to hold his nomination until they get some conclusion on this freezing of federal funds. So they're now going to basically try to either block or delay his nomination. I mean, none of this makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that, you know, this freeze was put out, which has been largely misconstrued by the media. It was put out, you know, he is not actually the budget chief yet. He is not in charge of the department when the budget freeze was being put out. So how can they say, then, well, we have to delay you? If anything, they should be willing to get somebody in quicker who is experienced and has done the job before.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad to hear that we've got somebody who was in there before, and he's coming back maybe with some renewed energy. There's so much waste. I mean, what we saw yesterday was probably not a drop in the bucket, and the establishment is already freaking out over it for sure. I tell you, Noah Weinrich, we appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for giving me a few minutes. Go to dailysignal.com, and they've got a lot of those links to those articles I was talking with him about there, particularly regarding boosting ICE level money for new facilities. And I mean, they're going to have to. They can shut the border down now, but we're going to have to process a lot of people back out of this country. I just loved what Caroline Levitt said yesterday, and the media is going to go apoplectic over it. So did Sonny Hostin. Sonny Hostin doesn't think an undocumented immigrant is a criminal. I'd love to ask her. Of course, you'd never get a chance to because the View is an echo chamber. Why don't you have illegals living in your house, Sonny? Open the door. Just leave your doors unlocked and open them up tonight. See whoever wanders in. Start feeding them, cooking them, cooking for them, support. Not cooking them. It'd be like a Haitian immigrant. Providing food for them and clothing. See how long that lasts. But it's not okay for them to do that in the rest of the country. Give me a break. All right, coming up, our buddy Charles Payne with more on this Chinese AI threat. We'll be back.
DOGE and OMB have actually found that there was $37 million that was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization, which is an organization, as you all know, that President Trump, with the swipe of his pen in that executive order, is no longer wants the United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's agenda. DOGE and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money.
What kind of a country do we want to be going forward?
Charles Payne, host of Making Money.
I want us to be that country that was number one, really enjoyed being number one, and did everything it could to stay number one.
All right, Charles Payne, I need to know, is there some kind of condom ETF I could invest in?
I don't know. You may want to go short right now.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, they're pulling back on that investment now. It looks like overseas. I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with that, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, you look at this, you would think Wall Street would look favorably on this if the federal government is honestly looking at ways to trim $2 to $3 trillion in spending.
Well, you know, so we always talk about the establishment. At the center of the establishment is Wall Street. Wall Street's goals don't always align with Main Street's, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Wall Street and these folks are crying about deportations of criminals, because, you know, it's going to mean that they have to hire Americans for more higher wages, and that would hurt the bottom line. I mean, for far too long, we have really, really acceded so much of our greatness to being reflected only in the stock market. And here's the real truth. A company that's, let's say, earning a company earns $20 at the end of the year, $5 every quarter, and the stock is trading at 100. And then all of a sudden, because government is taking out, you know, slack and take just too much of this fat in the economy, the earnings go to $19. The stock will come down. It has stayed out for about 6 months, and then we'll start going up, right? I mean, it's all a game. They don't have to maximize profits at the expense of Main Street prosperity to the degree that they've done it for so long, because ultimately, most of these stocks go up anyway. Like, if it's not trading at a 15 PE, it will trade at an 18 PE. So this is why the extreme greed of it all is so preposterous, because ultimately, Wall Street will get what it wants, particularly with a more prosperous America.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, I'm looking at, is the Fed supposed to make a decision today on rate cuts?
They probably won't do any cut today, but golly, this Q&A, everyone, you have to tune into my show today. This is going to be a doozy, because, listen, Trump has no love for Powell, right? And Powell has already kind of taken shots at Trump. And so he's going to be asked today about some of the things that Trump has talked about. Obviously, you know, Trump says he wants interest rates down, that he could do a much better job than the Fed, particularly Jay Powell. Jay Powell knows nothing when it comes to this, according to Donald Trump. And they will ask him about this over and over again. I mean, this is going to be amazing. Plus, the Fed's got a problem, right? And really, I don't even know. I got Rand Paul coming on today right before Fed announcement. Yeah, so my thing is, we need to blow the Fed up. We need to blow it up and put it back together in a way where Main Street somehow gets helped, because when they lower rates, you know, it didn't do much. And then when they hiked rates, ostensibly to slow the economy, all they've done was make people's credit card bills go, you know, the interest rate go from 15% to 23%. But because of the way things are set up, rich people just get richer because they get these checks, right? You get these money market checks, you get these bond yield checks, and they're actually spending money and they're enjoying life. And the data suggests that everyone's spending. It's not everyone. The top 20% are doing 40% of the spending. And so the irony is it's created this sort of cycle. Corporate America, same thing. Corporate America, they borrowed so much money at low rates, and now they get paid on their investments. So this doesn't hurt corporations. Right now, Warren Buffett is sitting on $350 billion. Why doesn't he put it to work? Why should he?
Yeah.
He gets these dividend checks from the government, so something is profoundly wrong.
It's true. I don't want to be a conspiracist. I'm sure, have you read The Creature from Jekyll Island many
years
ago? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when we look at people like Janet Yellen, who was over the Fed for a while, and then goes on to a completely partisan position under the Biden administration, how do you have any trust that what Powell is going to say is not politically motivated?
You can't. You really can't. In fact, I think something like 80% of the folks at the Fed are registered Democrats. And then the more key positions, the number gets up to like 90%. And if Harris had won, at some point, Leo Brainerd would have gone in there. She is a political beast, just like Janet Yellen. I mean, they're really, really far left. They really deeply believe in far-out economic policies. And, you know, we really dodged a real serious bullet there. But we've got to figure this out. The Fed has far too much power, and no one is really talking about it. And I think at some point, Bessent, who just got put in, just got confirmed this week, and Trump will start to talk about it more.
Yeah. Charles Payne, our guest from the Fox Business Network, and I have to ask you about the Chinese AI app that caused the NASDAQ and NVIDIA to take a dump this week.
You know, it's the more information that comes out, the more it's like, it's not that it's smoke and mirrors per se. They have some innovative ideas that are good, that it just will expedite this whole thing. But the notion that they put this thing together with $6 million as a side hustle, that's fading away. Now, it's perhaps they use $500 million worth of chips. That number is going to keep going up. They piggybacked off for data from OpenAI. OpenAI is upset. They'll probably try to get the administration to help them block that from happening. So, you know, the good news is it just underscores the fact that we are in an AI race and we need to wake up. You know, the bad news is that we had to be sideswiped to find this out. And again, it goes back to the idea that we've been sleepwalking. Listen, the past 4 years has always been about big data, big companies, bad. We'll slow them down. We'll make them pay their fair share. We'll regulate them to death. Well, you can't do that. I mean, we're supposed to be a free market, a free society, and that's supposed to be one of our edges on China. In the meantime, you know, behind the scenes, China was working at breakneck speed to copy everything that we were doing and then try to catch up. And that's what they've done. And they've done it time and time again. So why should AI be any different?
Yeah, it's a good point. Not I guess, when you look at it that way, not unlike their approach to oil, right, and drilling and all of
everything,
those things in the Biden administration.
Think, name an industry and tell me where they didn't steal something from our technology and then make it cheaper.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's good. So, again, you've got Rand Paul on the show today. What time?
2 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
The conference call, the thing with Powell starts at 2:30. It's going to be absolute dynamite. And I would not be surprised if Trump tweets or posts something on social media during the call.
We'll be watching. Charles, thanks, my
right.
buddy. I appreciate it.
See you, man.
All right, see you. Making Money on the Fox Business Network. Should be a good show today with Charles Payne. All right, coming up, a special guest. We've actually, we got her up early this morning. Annie Fry is going to step in studio here with us when we come back. Stay tuned.
Wow. Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
Loved that. Caroline Levitt killed it yesterday. We've got Annie Fry, host of The Annie Fry Show, noon to 3 every day in studio. I don't know about you, Annie, but at 27, I'm not sure I could have pulled that off as confidently as Caroline Levitt did yesterday.
You know,
she killed it.
She didn't. You didn't think about her being 27.
You didn't when you watched
her.
And
she didn't look like she was trying not to be 27,
right.
Which is kind of a hard thing to do. I was thinking yesterday about you, Mark Cox, because you used to be in my time slot here on 97.1 between noon and 3, and you were blessed with the press conference.
Every day.
And
yes.
Here we go again.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking yesterday on the show, because we were doing this in the studio, because we can put things up in queue in here in the studio, and I think what we're going to do, I cleared it with the boss, and by the boss, I mean Steve Moore. I think we're going to produce, we're going to add sound, we're going to take press conferences, but we're going to add sound effects to them. Like, studio applause and boos.
Boing.
I mean, we'll see how wild it gets, but I got the thumbs up and we're pretty excited about it.
That's very cool. Well, you can always tune in every day to hear those news conferences, in many cases live, apparently, with sound effects. But, you know, this week it is Every week is a week for something. This is Lutheran Education Week. Is that correct?
It's National School Choice Week.
It is that too.
Broadly.
Right.
And they, National Lutheran Schools Week, I went to Lutheran schools myself, a grade school in Edwardsville, and then also the Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. And we'd always celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week, usually like the end of February, the beginning of March. But they've moved National Lutheran Schools Week to coincide with School Choice Week because that makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of people out there who would really like, you know, I live on the Illinois side. I pay a lot of property taxes, like twice what I would have to pay on the Missouri side. It'd be nice if I could use those dollars to help educate my kid instead of having to educate other children while my kids are going to another school and leaving a desk empty in a classroom.
Yeah, it's a good point. In fact, we had a guest on earlier this week about school choice. You know, we're moving a little closer to it in Missouri than you are in Illinois.
Yeah.
I know Arkansas has moved even closer to what we would refer to as vouchers. What a great idea that would be, that I could say, hey, take my $6,000 or $7,000 in taxes that I paid and send it to this school over here because they're doing a better job and that's where I want to send my kid.
That's really what seems fair and parent driven instead of government driven. But that's one of the reasons, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk to your listeners, because I know you have a ton of people out there. Every time I'm out and about, people are always talking about how they listen to Mark Cox in the morning. We have the opportunity, we've paired with the Lutheran Elementary School Association to establish an Annie Freischow scholarship. So I'm very honored, but I'm also very nervous because I set a very tall goal of $15,000 raised by the Annie Freischow community and now the Mark Cox community, because I'm asking you to help anybody who's listening right now who cares about school choice, who cares about Lutheran education, who cares about helping kids get out of the public school system if they so choose, to have a Christian foundation. Lutheran schools serve children of all faith walks. You don't have to be a Lutheran at all to go to a Lutheran school, but you'll find that the education is second to none. The opportunity is, there are so many different opportunities for kids to succeed in sports and music and STEM opportunities and drama and all those different types of things. But we're trying to raise $15,000 to do it. If we get that $15,000 mark, they're going to give us a $10,000 match, and we're going to be able to endow a $25,000 scholarship that will, in perpetuity, help local kids.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lisa, as I've heard you refer to it on the air, would cover the entire listening area, right?
Yes.
Anywhere there's a Lutheran elementary school or school, it would cover it.
Yep. If you're listening right now to 97.1 and you can hear our voice, the Lutheran Elementary School Association goes far and wide. There are 37 Lutheran schools in the area. And the thing about it, if you can go right now to Lisa, it's Lisa with an E, Lutheran Elementary School Association, lisastl.org/Annie, and it'll go right to the page. It's actually much more affordable than people think. When you think of non-public education, you think, you know, huge, huge amounts. I was able to send my three kids to a Lutheran school, grade school, last year for less than $10,000. Which I think people can be pretty taken aback by.
Oh, I bet they are.
That is that affordable. Every school is different. Every Lutheran school is attached to a church or some churches, and they handle it uniquely, kind of like a states' rights things. But the Lutheran Elementary School Association comes in and makes these scholarships possible so that kids can have this in reach. So if you're interested in a Lutheran education, lisastl.org/Annie to learn about it. But also, please, we got a $1,000 donation yesterday from somebody.
Wow.
Yesterday evening, I got a message that there's another $250 donation come in. I know of people who have given $10. It all helps. It all matters. We are trying to get $3,000 a day, which in 5 days would get us to $15,000. We are past $6,000 right now. So, I mean, big donations are great. If you do that, send a message with your donation and I will give you a shout out between noon and three. If you want to do it in the name of your business or whatever, I'd be happy to do that, or just your name, or honor somebody. But it's Lisa with an E, lesastl.org/Annie.
And it's all tax deductible, right?
Yes, 501c3. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And they will provide you all the documentation you need to make sure that you don't do another solid for the government in the process of trying to provide school choice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So is that a website up on your webpage?
Social media. I have it up on social media.
Cool. Yeah.
But I you know, go directly to, I'll tweet it out here at Annie Freischow, and I'll post it. I'll pin it on my Facebook page, the Annie Freischow Facebook page, when we get done here. I needed to get that done anyway. But Lisa with an E, stl.org/Annie.
Annie, are you are you like me and having to take a deep breath every day with how rapidly things have happened in 8 days?
Stop smiling.
I know.
Everywhere I go, people are like, so how's your job?
That's great. Like,
better than 2 weeks ago. Everything is great. This is what we voted for, and he's making good on promises.
And today you're going to get to watch the RFK hearing, which is going to be underway here soon. Tomorrow, Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, it just, there's not a
you
slow
think
moment.
Going to get confirmed?
I do. I have a good feeling about that.
I think the Republican Party is going to revolt if they don't.
I think that just like Pete Hegseth, he'll get the nomination. You'll find out he doesn't have two heads. His comments are going to be completely normal. And the Democrat, whatever energy they have against him, is just going to kind of fade away. That's what I see.
Must watch, must listen stuff, though. That's
just like the Annie Fry Show, noon to 3 every day. Awesome. Annie, thank you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
that. Not a problem. All right. Right now, the Brian Kilmeade show is up next. I'm sure they're gathering in the confirmation room right now in the Senate. For that hearing for RFK Jr., I'm sure Brian's going to be covering that for you. And Annie will have all of the latest news for you coming up at noon. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Kim St. Ange makes her return to the show tomorrow morning. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.